Colossians chapter 1. Let's just start reading about verse number 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. That verse I was reading the other day, about a week or so ago, a couple weeks ago maybe. Maybe it's been 2 or 3 weeks back. The Lord gave me this thought, and I've never seen it exactly like this, but verse 5 said, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. The hope in heaven that we have. I got to thinking about that. The Bible said over there in Colossians 3, it said, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We have a hope in heaven. We just don't have the hope that we have here in earth, in our hearts, in our minds, in the faith of the Lord Jesus. Not just that, but there's something up yonder in heaven that gives us hope. I've never seen it just like that before. Hope laid up in heaven. Got to thinking about that for about a week. It just kept going through my mind. Hope laid up for heaven. Something laid up is always something special. You ever thought about that? Buying presents at Christmas time. Your mom and daddy would buy you presents and lay them up somewhere and put them up in the closet in a place you don't normally go. And usually your wife puts your Christmas present in the pantry where the cleaning supplies is, because she knows you ain't ever going to go in there. She don't put your presents around the refrigerator or your recliner because you'd find them. But anyway, the buying presents at Christmas or putting the savings account in the bank, they call it, lay it up, they'll lay it up for you, hiding something away until a better special occasion. You might laugh at this. The thought came to me when I was putting this sermon together. I mean, my dear old mama used to use this in a negative context. She'd look at me every once in a while and she'd be like this, I got something laid up for you when we get to the house. Amen. That wasn't no present, brother. That wasn't good. But you know what she meant? She meant, I got something special for you, boy. Just go ahead. Amen. I got your number. I know where you live. I know where you sleep. I know where you eat. And I'll catch you coming out of the bathtub without any drawers on. And I'm going to tear you up. That's what she meant. I got something laid up for you right up here, and I won't forget it. And I tell you, brother, that's the way it is with Christians. God has something special laid up. It's a special place for a special people. It's a special promise. It's a special power. And we're going to be with a special person one of these days. I've only got 3 points. I'll give them to you. If it's 5 minutes long, we're going to the house. Amen. I want to say, first of all, up in heaven laid up, we have an advocate. Amen. The Bible said in 1 John 2:1, he said, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. He said, I don't want you to sin. Don't be messing around and sin. Don't do that. But he said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Did you know the hope we have laid up in heaven tonight, right here in January 22nd, 2012, we have a Savior up in heaven, and the Bible says he's seated at the right hand of God, and he's our advocate, brother. He's already there. I mean, it's not a fairy tale or a fantasy. It's not Alice in Wonderland or Peter Pan. That's God. It's the Lamb of God. He's up in heaven. If you go outside now, tonight and look up at the stars, and you can look way up in the sky. Those stars are millions and millions. The sun is the nearest star, and it's 95 million miles away. Brother, imagine how far those stars are. And the scientists can't even figure out how many galaxies they are. But far beyond those stars, far beyond your imagination, far beyond man's thought, there's a God in heaven who made it all. And his Son is seated there at his right hand. And he's your advocate. If you do sin, he'll forgive you. And he'll speak for you. He's your mediator between you and God. Hey, listen, when you sin, my daddy used to give people this advice. I'd overhear him, people come to him, and back in the old days, preacher didn't have an office or study. Daddy just had a little place in the house where he studied, and people just come up to him in the foyer. Well, actually, didn't have a foyer, just had a front porch on the old church, and they'd come up to him in the yard, they'd say, "Preacher," and they'd start telling him about what they'd done, and something bad, and Daddy'd stand there and listen. He was a good listener, you know, and he wouldn't just run his mouth. He'd listen a while, and he'd say this. He always get the best advice. I didn't think about when I was a kid, but it really resonates over these years. He said, "Well, listen, let's get down and pray. Let's go over here beside the building. Let's meet you, get down and pray." And he said, "Ask God to forgive you and try your best not to ever do it again." Oh, brother, what advice that is. There's been times in my life that I failed him. I failed God miserably. I've been such a failure. Oh, but thank God I can go to him in prayer. The Bible said, "Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need." Thank God he's up there and he's pulling for us. He's our advocate. The word advocate and mediator is kind of synopsis, or, you know, they're kind of the same thing. A mediator, the Bible says, is one who intervenes between two. In other words, like two people having a lawsuit, and one guy suing another guy, they'll try to bring it into mediation. In other words, let's try to keep this from going to court. Let's try to satisfy both parties. And somebody will step in, and he's neutral, and he's not pulling for that side or that side. He's just trying to help out. Oh, but I want to tell you, our mediator, brother, the Bible said he's sitting at the right hand of God making intercession. He's making intercession. He's helping you. He's talking to God on your behalf. Listen, the Bible said in Hebrews 4:15, "Oh, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was all put tempted like as we are, yet without sin." As he sits there at the right hand of God, he knows and realizes what you're going through. You ever feel like sometimes nobody knows what I'm going through? And like I preached this morning, nobody even cares. I'm facing all the things I've ever faced in my life, and nobody even cares. But I want to tell you, there is somebody that cares. Not only is there somebody that cares, there's somebody that can do something about it, and there's somebody that will do something about it, and it's our Savior. That's the hope we have laid up in heaven. We have a mediator sitting at the right hand of God, and he said, "Have mercy on him, Father." And he said, "Have mercy." He's feeling weak. She's feeling discouraged. "Oh, Father, bear with them. Lord, help them. I paid for their sins with my blood." He's our advocate. We have an advocate over there pulling for us. It's not that God don't understand. God and Jesus are one. And the Trinity is kind of a complicated thing. It's kind of simple, but it's one of those things you never can really fully understand it. But Jesus walked in flesh and knows what it felt like. And now he's sitting there in heaven with them scars in his hands and feet and his pierced brow. He knows how you feel. I've heard preachers preach this, and it might be true, and I kind of believe it too. I kind of believe that no matter what you go through, he's experienced it some way or another. Maybe not the exact situation you're going through. Maybe he didn't have a house in foreclosure, or maybe he wasn't in a car wreck and broke his leg like you did, or maybe he don't have migraine headaches, or whatever, but he's feeling the same dejection and the same depression and the same discouragement and the same hurt and the same weight on his shoulders. Hey, man, that you're feeling. Oh, brother, he can deal with it. I'm telling you, brother, he can sympathize with your trauma and your weakness and your failure. He's our advocate, and he will help us. Amen. I've had some things happen in my life, and I question it when it happened, and the Lord don't mind you questioning things as long as you don't do it in an accusatory manner. If you do it in an inquisitive manner, I'm using big words tonight to show you how smart I am. If you ask him, Lord, why is this happening? He don't mind you asking that. But I've asked the Lord, Lord, I don't understand this. None of this makes any sense. Mama used to claim that verse, Romans 8:28, "All things work together for good, them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose." God didn't say for nobody's good. But the Lord's looking down saying, "You just don't understand fully." And I'm going to say something about that in just a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself just a tad. But here's what I'm saying. In that realm of understanding, we just don't fully get it. But I think there's things that happened to me, Brother Jeff, in my life. I mean, there's things that's happened to me that's hurt me so bad that I didn't think I'd survive it. But over the years, I've seen God use that went through me to help other people that went through the same thing that I went through. Amen. But I never told them I've been through it. I never told them I went through the same thing. I just sat there behind my desk or back there in the back pew and cried with them and prayed with them. And I'm thinking to myself, I know how you feel. I know how helpless you feel. I know how you feel like your life's a train wreck. Listen, brother, I'm with you. I feel your pain. I know what you're going through. And I love you and I'll pray for you.
Amen.
I don't know what it feels like to embezzle $10,000 and go to prison. I can't sympathize with people like that. I can to a certain point as a human. But when I see a man pushing a grocery cart, Brother Jeff, and everything he owns is in it, and he's living on the street, sleeping under a bridge, I ain't never been homeless. But I sympathize with that, Brother Sam.
Amen.
I know he's a prisoner. He's a prisoner of his own self. He's put himself in that situation. His own flesh and the devil and the world has made him become a prisoner. And there, he didn't wake up and decide, I want to be a homeless person. I want to be a crack addict. I want to run a meth lab. I see these boys over here in the jail and the prisons and places like that guy was preaching about this morning. It breaks my heart because I know that they followed the devil and the flesh and the world and got themselves in that shape. I'm trying to tell you tonight, that's exactly what Jesus does as their advocate. He knows how you feel.
Amen.
He never sinned, never did any wrong. But we do know this. That he can sympathize with you. Whatever you're feeling, he felt it. You say, well, preacher, I've lost a loved one. He lost loved ones too. So, preacher, I'm hurt and I'm down. He was hurt and he was down. Some of the worst things that you can name, if I give you a piece of paper and say, write down 10 of the worst things that could ever happen to a human being, Jesus had those happen to him. And it's not always physical things. It's those mental and emotional things, like betrayal and those kinds of things. He's our advocate, laid up in heaven. Number two, I want to say this. Laid up for you in heaven, your hope is this. You have an advocate, but you have an address.
Amen.
I can't wait, man. When I was a young preacher, I didn't understand. People's often saying, I wish the Lord would come back. I was like, oh, what are they talking about? I'm having a good time. But I ain't like it no more.
Amen.
Every time I look around, every time I turn on the news, I'm like, dear God, please, please let it be today. Come and get us out of this hellhole. Oh, it feels like you're swimming through a septic tank, don't it? I mean, brother, you're in Sodom and Gomorrah, and there's no way out. There's nowhere you can go. There's nothing you can do. That's why people that love God go to church, because it gives them just a little bit of relief and a little bit of help for a short period of time, for an hour, a couple hours, 3 or 4 hours a week. At least we can come in here and shout and praise God. But thank God the hope laid up in heaven is we have an address. Hey, brother, we're residents of another world, and we're going to be with Him. Well, the most famous verse of Scripture in the Bible, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me.
Amen.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
And the best part is that if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that you may be also.
Amen.
Here's the mistake people may make in this world, in society. They think a house is a home. It's not. House is a house. Don't matter if it's a single wide trailer or a camper or a $6 million home sitting on top of the mountain. But a home is something different from a house. And when we get to heaven, we're going to have a home. My home is wherever my wife is, wherever I am, and wherever my kids are. Hey, I'd make a home in Hazelhurst. I'd make a home in South Carolina, Florida. Hey, brother, I really wouldn't want to make a home in up north with the Yankees, but I could if I had to. Amen? And home, brother, is where your heart is, and home is where you love and your family. And brother, listen, I want to tell you, we have an address. I mean, brother, listen, that word mansion, it means an abiding place, a dwelling place. I don't know that it necessarily means a house like we think of it. It means a place of your own. That entire place will be your home.
Amen.
Many mansions. There's a place just for us. And I know you're like me. If you feel at home in this world, you're not saved.
Amen.
One of the first things I noticed when I got saved was, wow, things look different. I feel different. Man, that looks ugly. That looks nasty. And I'm going to be honest with you, people. I hate the world now more than I've ever hated it.
Amen.
I don't mean I hate people. I mean most of them is deplorable. But I ain't saying I hate them. I want them to go to hell or nothing like that. But the world system is what I'm talking about. It's sickening. Everything's running backwards. Just like I said this morning, You know, they outlaw the Bible. As soon as you get put in prison, they give you a Bible. Yeah. Our society knows nothing. Our government knows nothing. They can't govern themselves. They don't know the head from the tail. And voting somebody else in ain't going to change a whole lot, brother. I can tell you, until this country comes to a place of repentance, and it comes to a place where it turns back to God and says, God, we believe that you're our Creator, and we believe Jesus Christ is our Savior, and starts believing in the Bible and then the dictates of what this book says. Until that happens, brother, we ain't going to get no better off. We have an address, brother. We're going to change addresses pretty soon. We had two or three in this church this year that changed residences and moved out and went on, brother. Got in their new place. Amen. Got their new body. Got in their new home. They're with their new neighbors, new friends. I wouldn't call them back if we could. They wouldn't want to come back. Like I was preaching this morning, they're hollering, rooting the song, saying, come on. Hang with us. Hang in there. We have a new address. Not only that, I want to say thirdly, we have an advocate, we have an address, but thirdly, we have a hope laid up in heaven in answers. Look at Revelation 21. We have some answers waiting on us. The reason we don't understand everything, it's not meant for us to understand, and we're a finite human being that's limited our capability of understanding the spiritual world. Revelation 21 said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now listen, I like this part. He will dwell with them, they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You ever get discouraged? You ever just cry because you're discouraged? If you hadn't, you will. I told Debbie one day, I said, I just feel like I could go off out in the woods somewhere and just cry a while. You ever feel that way? She said, why don't you? Sometimes I feel like that, don't you? We ain't going to feel that way anymore. There's going to be no more tears. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he sat upon the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. And said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. There's going to come a day, ladies and gentlemen, when we get to a place, it's like there's going to be a veil lifted, and it's all going to make sense. Amen. Somehow, some way, it's just all going to make sense. I mean, we're speaking human here. But when we get up there, we're going to speak a whole different language. I don't mean audibly, but maybe that too. I don't know. But it's going to be different. And you're going to know your home, and you're going to know you belong, and everything that you wondered about, it's going to all come together. It's going to all fit together. It's going to make all sense. And he said, he that overcomes shall inherit all things. And all these God, he shall be my son. He shall inherit all things. And then that all things means understanding. Amen? There'll be some answers. You say, preacher, I don't understand. I don't understand. The preacher told me this morning, just give you a little example. Some things you don't understand. Ronnie, go ahead and get ready to play something. There'll be some answers when we get to heaven. That's the hope we have. It'll make sense one day, Brother Jeff. Why'd all this happen? Why did that should have happened, but this happened? That preacher told me out there on the porch this morning that littlest girl, y'all remember that littlest girl? The little bitty one? She was a twin. And her twin died in the womb. And they had to take it out. Just a 3-month-old baby in her belly and her mama. And the doctors told him, said, that other man gonna make it, we need to take it to him. He said, oh, the other was already dead. So they took it. And he said, she won't be able to carry this, the second one. I know Brother Todd wouldn't mind me telling this. So we're not gonna be able to let her carry that the rest of the next 6 months because she'll lose that one too. And he said, no, don't take that one. That might make it. You see that pretty little girl bouncing around here. Her twin's already gone up yonder. He said, preacher, why would the Lord let the twin of that baby die in its mother's womb and let the other live? Good question. You're looking at the wrong person if you're asking me the answers. I ain't got them. I ain't got them all. One of these days, the hope laid up in heaven. Listen. Some things just don't make sense to us as human beings. But the Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding. Y'all heard me talk about my mom and daddy. My daddy was a great preacher and was faithful and preached all over the place and pastored churches, pastored three or four churches in his life. And my mama loved God. I've never known anybody love the Lord more than mama did or witnessed more than she did. But she witnessed more than most preachers. But why was she sick her whole life? Why was she sick all the time? Heart trouble and diabetes and kidney trouble and heart failure and all that. Arthritis and bursitis and all kind of itis. I mean, she had everything. And us just little old kids growing up, and their mama's all sick all the time, and she took care of us. Sometimes we'd come home from school and run the house, mom would be laying across the bed just sick as a dog. Just couldn't survive hardly. Back then, they didn't have medical science like they do now. Back in the 60s and 70s, you know, even nothing like it is now. I don't understand that. I don't know why God didn't let my daddy's such a good preacher give him a good, healthy wife. But he saw fit to give him a sickly wife. But you know what? Daddy towed the business. Towed the line and stayed with it. Stayed with the stuff. Who knows? You know what? You know what's going to happen? We're going to get to heaven. That's the hope we have. When we get to heaven, you won't have to walk up and say, Lord, how come you let my mama be sick? Lord, how come you let my little baby die when it was born? Lord, how come you let me miscarry? It's going to make sense. You won't have to ask him. You'll see it. That girl sat out there on the porch and said she miscarried 5 times before that first one was born. How about that? Lost 5 of them. Now, to us men, it's just a word. Miscarriage. Oh, she had a miscarriage. But for a woman, that's something big, brother. That's part of her growing inside of her and her husband. And it's gone. Gone. We can't fit. I don't know why, the Lord. I've never mentioned stuff like that. Miscarriages and stuff in a message. For some reason, God wanted me to. But here's my point I'm trying to make. The things that don't make sense and the things that don't add up and the things that we think, Lord, why don't you intervene and do something about this? Like Brother Keever's daughter's got leukemia. I don't understand that. I don't know why. And then you see other people that seem like they never go to church and never pick up a Bible, hate God, hate Christianity, they hate America, and it seems like everything they touch turns to gold. Does that make sense? No, it don't make sense. Lean not to thine own understanding. There's hope laid up for you in heaven. And one of those things is answers. You're going to get them one day, and it'll be unveiled and unfolded in front of you. You won't have to have a list and walk up and say, Lord, how come you did this and did that and did this? How come you let this happen, let that happen? I've seen things happen that I just have to shake my head. I ain't got no answer. We're going to have some things laid up for us in heaven. That's our hope, is what's over there. Our hope ain't here.